Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State, about monarchy then and monarchy now. We're headed to our King Charles report via Australia. Headline from the Independent. Albanese, that's the re-elected prime minister, holds, quote, warm, end quote, talks with President Trump on AUKUS and tariffs after election win. Mr. Albanese said he had a very warm conversation. Mr. Albanese said he discussed the AUKUS with Mr. Trump in a congratulatory phone call from the president. Mr. Albanese of the Labour Party won against a conservative liberal national coalition led by Peter Dutton as Mr. Trump's global tariff war and the fear of center-right leaders mirroring Trump-style politics shaped the election in Mr. Albanese's favor, says the Independent. I come to my favorite Australian national, Gregory Copley, who's from Western Australia, from the Perth area. That's a bit like being from the West where glory lives, okay? So this is the opinion of a Western Australian, and I take it very seriously because that's where the money is. Gregory, Albanese wins over Dutton. You were worried. You weren't worried. You very much indicated that this was likely for several weeks. What did Dutton do wrong? Because the COLA, the big policy, was decidedly against the cost of living allowance. Was decidedly against Mr. Albanese. So what explains this victory of Labour?
Well, I think it's fair to say that nobody wins an election. People lose elections. And this was very much a case of Peter Dutton and the Liberal Party losing this election. Dutton was the representative, if you like, of the conservative wing of the Liberal Party, which is Australia's nominally conservative party. He spoke a good game on some issues, but then didn't follow through on those issues which were important to the electorate. And as we discussed with Canada, we're seeing an end to the traditional left-right in many respects. You see remnants of it, of course, but the reality is that there are facts and factors which impact people across the spectrum, left or right, Labour or Conservative in these situations. And the fact is that the Australian taxpayer has been badly hit by not only high taxes, but also by great inhibition on the development of Australian industry and the development of Australian resources. Australia moved from being a highly industrialised country, producing a wide range of advanced aerospace products, including jet fighters and rockets. It was, I think, the fourth country in the world to launch a satellite into space from its own territory. It was the first to really pioneer manned flight, and including giving the Wright brothers Lawrence Hargraves' design for the box kite aircraft. I mean, it goes on and on. This was an advanced industrial and scientific country, which became a third world country because it went back to being merely a resource provider, digging and shipping instead of digging and finishing and building and then exporting. So you've got a situation where the population has been reduced to a fairly primitive society, either of miners or service industries and agriculture. And it needs to get back to the things which gave it its economy flight over the previous couple of hundred years. And that meant going back to lower regulations, lower government interference, lower government bureaucracy. And these are the things which the Liberal National Party coalition of parties were striving to achieve, except that they didn't commit to it. They didn't back off the green agenda, which essentially has been wiped away in most parts of the world. The green a party vote in Australia went down in this election, and more votes just went with the Labor Party as the status quo government. So Dutton never came out and said, we are going to go back to strengthening our oil and oil refineries, and we're going back to using coal refineries as necessary. Australians have been convinced by Labor and the Greens over recent decades that they had to go for alternate green energy, which has not been green at all. And at a time when Australia contributed probably half of 1% of the world's greenhouse gases to the environmental issue. So Australia has impoverished itself. It has reduced its per capita wealth lead over its Asian counterparts and allies to an enormous degree. So Australia's relative position in the Indo-Pacific has declined, while India's, China's, Vietnam's, you know, Indonesia's has improved. So the question is, where do they go? Now, Dutton offered nothing except we'll reduce petrol prices, gasoline prices at the pump. Instead, what we find is that Australia is faced with its most critical decision since Federation in 1901. It no longer has to choose between the United Kingdom and the United States as its parent ally, and if you like, follow the lead of either Whitehall or Washington. It has to go its own way. It was hoping to be able to have a balancing trick, if you like, with Beijing, in that Beijing has been a major client for Australian mineral exports. Reality is that China is not that market anymore. China is declining and will disappear as a massive market for Australian agricultural and mineral products. So where does Australia go? There's a very good chance that when the China threat disappears, which it could do within 5 to 10 years, as the Chinese state itself evaporates economically and militarily, will the United States find Australia worth bothering about it at all? Why would it, if there's no need for Australia to help stop the Chinese expansion into the Indo-Pacific? So Australia really needs to start thinking about long-term leadership. It's not doing it. This election merely bought a little more time for the Labor Party, which had created the worst economic conditions in Australia for decades, possibly out of the worst prime minister in Australia since Federation. But it wasn't that was enough to sink the Labor Party. The Liberal Party was worse. So we're going to have to see some real decision-making, and we're starting to see the rumblings of that within the Australian political and economic establishment. People are now saying, where the hell are we going to go? The US may not support us. We may not find ourselves in this cozy relationship with the United States that we've had basically since World War One. We don't have a savior in the United Kingdom. We do have the AUKUS Treaty, but will that save us from whatever? What do we do? Do we get back to refining our own oil? Do we get back to building our own products? They're going to have to start thinking these sorts of thoughts very, very soon.
AUKUS is a nearly $180 billion security cooperation deal involving Australia, the US, and UK, aimed at helping Canberra upgrade its naval capability, says The Independent. What I can add to that is that the Financial Times summary of the news, talking about the charm offensive launched by Beijing in their desperation, includes the remark that if they don't like charm, how about war? Because it talked about that those two warships and a supply ship that circumnavigated, was the claim, Australia for the first time, including a live fire exercise. Question here is, does Australia understand this as a threat? An outreach by a neighboring nation, a trading partner? How does Albanese regard China?
Well, Albanese is attempted to kowtow to Beijing, and he and Foreign Minister Penny Wong have recently had social gatherings with Chinese Communist Party officials or representatives of the Chinese Communist Party or the United Front Work Department of the Communist Party. So they are trying to keep on Beijing's good side. I think people don't regard the circumnavigation by those two warships, which were advanced warships of Australia, as being a threat. They could have been easily handled by Australia's existing defence forces without any question about that. But it was meant to be a threat that there was more to come if they didn't behave. And in fact, the Chinese media have been saying, well, Australia is really a Chinese country because we discovered it before the Europeans. Pretty laughable threat there. But China has not got the resources to do a lot in Australia. It's buying off politicians and other people through very low-level financial schemes. It's not a huge strategic player. China is, as we know, in dire straits. So the question is, will the Labor Party think of China as a threat? Not as long as the media rhetoric is that China is a superpower which is only getting bigger. And the reality is that it was a big power and it's getting smaller.
Oceania. As I understand it, Australia and New Zealand have their areas of influence areas. Is Australia holding up its part of the bargain to defend those areas from the Chinese advances?
It's doing it more than New Zealand, because New Zealand had let its defense and power projection capabilities erode dramatically, lost one of its biggest warships through an accident in the south end off Samoa last year. Australia is in the South Pacific very strenuously, but not necessarily always wisely. It's not giving the kind of support that a lot of the South Pacific nations wanted to give. Fiji, for example, has basically said to the Australians, look, stop treating us like beggars and giving us what you think is best for us. Start listening to what we think is best for the region and working together with us on securing and protecting the region, its fisheries, its resources, and the like. So the Fijian Prime Minister, Sitiveni Rumbuka, is basically taking steps to introduce technologies and capabilities which Australia could have but refused to provide, including, for example, nuclear-powered supply ships which could provide power to shore establishments, as well as providing emergency capabilities in disaster relief and trade within the South Pacific Island community, the Pacific Island Forum states, for example. So Australia has, or Canberra, has been quite arrogant in the past few decades about how it deals with not only Fiji, which is the core driver, but also the other South Pacific states.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State, returning to the King Charles Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's time to play big on Moto Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
Moto.us.